In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
From the time I was a little boy, I remember Palm Sunday. And you know how children think in certain ways. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Out of the mouths of children and infants, God has ordained perfect praise, they tell us. Not that I had perfect praise as a child, but I used to think Palm Sunday was kind of odd. And it was different. And I thought, how could it be that all these people are rushing out to see Jesus today and praising him as king and falling at his feet, when just a few days later, these same people are going to be shouting out, not Hosanna to the Son of David, but crucify him. How could that be? That kind of bothered me. But as we grow and as we experience and have theological training too, and pastoral training, sometimes we learn things about life and about our humanity, about God and about our ways, mostly about his ways. There's a couple of explanations for this. How could this be that one day people are praising him and a few days later are condemning him to death? Why did they come out in droves when he entered into Jerusalem to sing praises to him? But when he went to his passion and prayed in the garden, not one of his disciples stayed with him. And Jesus asked them. He said, can't you stay awake for just a little bit? Keep me company. Pray with me. Don't fall into temptation. And they assured him that they would, but they all weakened. And he was alone in the garden praying to God. Why is this? Well, on the one hand, we could say, people are like that. People are like that. With no animosity, with no condemnation. It's how we are. We know that. We get excited for a little bit. We want to welcome Jesus on this glorious feast day. But in times of temptation, we fall away. Maybe our faith doesn't have, it's not rooted in good soil. That could be an explanation. People tend to be like that. We have good intentions. We want to do the right thing. Maybe we make promises to God, to each other, and out of weakness and the fallenness of our human condition, we don't live up to them. We understand that we're like that. Another key to understanding this feast day, though, is in the imagery we get in this beautiful gospel. We're getting kind of a little peek into not only what happened 2,000 years ago, but something that will happen. We don't know when, but we're sure that it's going to happen. Jesus Christ coming again in glory. Today we get a little window to view that. Because all the people came out to see him and they praised him as king. This doesn't happen often in the Gospels. Jesus is mostly rejected. A few people believe, and we see instances, but wholesale, he's rejected. But today in the gospel, they all come out. The Jews, who had just seen Lazarus, or heard about Lazarus raised up from the dead, they heard of that great sign. The word spread, and they all came out to see. And we heard in the gospel yesterday, Lazarus Saturday, they all came out to see because they believed. They were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. So they came out to be a part of it. The beginning of the gospel today, another little indication, a striking image of Lazarus, just raised up from the dead, sitting at table with Jesus. What does that remind us of? That's our destination, all of us. To sit at the heavenly banquet. To eat at the banquet of the heavenly kingdom. Another sign that this is looking forward, this is looking ahead. And at Matins today, the little verses we read between the Psalms, actually the Stichira, praises the Lord who came and who is yet to come, putting the emphasis on both. He came, he entered Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and he will come as the King of Glory. This is where our focus is today, beloved in Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ coming again. And we might want to ask ourselves, where do we stand in all of this? We know people are fickle. We know that we're weak. We know that we're human in the sense that we're mired in the ways of the world all the time. Our hearts are in the right places. We're all here today. Glory to God. But what do we do with this? Do we abandon Jesus at the cross? Do we only come out to lift up our palms and sing praises, Hosanna in the highest to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Today our church is packed to the rafters, as they say. Come on Friday when we take Jesus down from the cross. You don't have to come early to get a good seat. It's a beautiful service. It's prayerful. Kind of an indication, though, of how we are. So let's look at that. The important thing about Jesus' entrance today, it points to the future, to our life in the kingdom, and little details in the gospel tell us that Jesus came for us. For all of us. His kingship is not just of the Jews of the time. He's the universal king of all creation. Why is he sitting on an ass? Well, if he were an earthly king and just won a war, he would come riding on his war horse. But the prophets foretold this is not how the Messiah would come into his kingdom. Lowly and meek on an ass, and a dumb ass. That aspect is emphasized, dumb. Our church fathers tell us that's the Gentiles, indicating the ones who didn't have the word of God, who weren't able to speak because God had not spoken to them. This is the salvation for the entire world, Jews and Gentiles. We read on the feast today, or we hear the Gospel of John, that passage. At Matins, we heard from Matthew. All four of the Gospels have this, and they're all a little different, the details. My personal favorite is the one from Luke. And the reason I like it is because they tell Jesus, tell these people to be quiet. They're making so much noise. Can't you do something about it? And of course, what are the people doing? They're saying, they're praising him. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes. So when they complain to Jesus, he tells them in Luke's gospel, he says, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. If the people won't praise God, an inanimate object will. That's how real God is. And earlier in Luke's gospel, this is a nice literary device, John the Baptist tells the people who come out to be baptized, he says, don't be so self-assured and say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, we're all set. I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up sons of Abraham. So if we don't participate, somebody will. God is calling us, beloved in Christ. He's calling us to him. Don't be so self-assured that I'm an Orthodox Christian, that I was baptized, Where are our hearts today? Do we belong to Jesus Christ? Do we live a life in the church? Are we in the sacraments? Is our baptism just an event we remember because there's pictures and we have godparents and we know who they are? It happened many years ago. Are we baptized today? That's the question. Are we baptized today? Are we living our baptism? I love that image of the stones, because we know from all the scriptures, everything that has breath is commanded to praise God, right? But this takes it a little further. Even an inanimate object, God can make his sons, his servants, if we will not participate. But God wants us to participate. He's calling us. Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem as king, and the people didn't realize it at the time, or most of them didn't, and sometimes we don't today. He's coming as a king to give himself up for the people. Not to be glorified in an earthly sense, but to be glorified in doing the will of the Father and giving up his life for the life of the world. This is the blessed calling that we have today as we gather together with palms to welcome Jesus into the holy city. It's also strange too, Jerusalem. Jesus is coming into the place where they rejected him. Another sign that this will only happen in the end when he comes in glory. The new Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem bound by earthly geography in the physical sense. Not the temple made with hands, but the heavenly Jerusalem in the heavenly kingdom. Right after the gospel ends today, there's a verse that we didn't hear, and I want to tell you about it, because it's the Pharisees seeing all this excitement and seeing what's going on and trying to make a decision about what we're going to do. And they complain to one another and they say, "It's no use. There's nothing we can do. The world has gone after him." The world has gone after Jesus, and they're complaining. What should we do? God willing, the world would go after him. That's our great hope as Christians. "He who would come after me, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We are called to go after him. So as the church, let us ask ourselves today, are we after him? Are we going after him? And then what are we doing so that the world would go after him? This is another part of our calling. We can't just be good Christians and stay in church and stay amongst ourselves. We have to go out into the world and be a light for the world. We have to bring this good news, this salvation, that God loves us so much that he himself would come and give up his life for our salvation and for the life of the world. And all are called, Jews and Gentiles, which today means everybody. We're all called to this salvation. And if we're fickle, well, let's look at that. I know as an adult now, people are like that. I've encountered people, and I myself am like that. We think one thing, we decide something, and then we don't stay firm in it. We back away. Pray about it. Ask God to make us strong. Commit yourself to God. Commit yourself to Jesus Christ, to the life of the church. God has given us this for our salvation. Let us not with one voice cry today, "Hosanna in the highest," and just a few days later, "Crucify him, crucify him," and leave him abandoned at the cross. God forbid. Finally, beloved in Christ, this great feast day inaugurates what we in the church consider the greatest week, Holy Week, the week of our Lord's Passion. We remember the events now. We remember the events of his betrayal, his temptation, his arrest, and ultimately his crucifixion, burial, and at the end of it, his glorious resurrection unto life. That resurrection will be ours if we belong to him today. In order to belong to him today, we have to die with him today, so that when Jesus Christ comes in glory at his second coming, the true Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he, and all the nations of the earth see him and recognize him as king, we will be counted among those who belong to him, and we will be raised up to eternal life. This is our great hope. This is why we're doing all of this. Let us be mindful then, not just of today, but of Holy Week, and of the prayers and the services and the commemoration that our church puts forth. Let us embrace them, participate in them, that all of our spiritual efforts and our ascetic prayers might bear fruit. It is with this hope that we continue the divine liturgy and offer our holy oblation in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.